Now, this intro story is definitely not our typical intro story. It's not like just quirky and weird and just straight up funny. It's more baffling, I would say, but also just a very interesting gaming news related story. This article comes out of Dexerto and is written by Rishab Sabarwal. Popular online platform for user-generated games and experiences, Roblox is frequently associated with family-friendly content and inventive gameplay. However, Roblox has expanded in recent years to include a variety of mature experiences designed for users aged 17 and older. Roblox has introduced a system that allows developers to create experiences with mature themes and content in order to accommodate these older users. However, with the presentation of Roblox's future roadmap at RDC 2023, Builderman, that's his Roblox username, and CEO David Bezucki of the Roblox Corporation revealed his predictions, which included the addition of 17 plus dating experiences to the platform. In his keynote address at the most recent RDC 2023, which was held in San Francisco on September 8th and 9th, 2023, the Builderman announced several upcoming platform features. However, when he began discussing his top 10 predictions for Roblox in the next 5 years and what it could achieve, the introduction of 17 plus dating experiences that players will use to meet virtually and form real life relationships was one of the points that received mixed reception. Since then, the internet has been in commotion, with some speculating a Tinder style app is coming to Roblox. However, the Builderman clearly stated that these will be creator made experiences that will concentrate on 17 plus age verified users forming real relationships with other users, thereby bringing the metaverse experience closer to reality. These experiences will
age verified. People just lie about their age to get past the age restrictions. Lucky.
These experiences will also present virtual events such as movie
screenings.
It's all
just going to be like fucking 13-year-old boys.
Yep. Concert.
Because it's Roblox, right?
It's Roblox. Yes. Yes, the game for children. Now, however, the playing community did not take this lightly and started worrying about the younger audiences who might be exposed to the ill side of these experiences.
Oh, really?
One such user said, "I remember playing Roblox as a kid, but this has gone too far." Another one chimed in to comment, "Stay away from my kids. Straight out. Okay? Cool." Now, this is just strange. While there are still 17 plus experiences on the platform that allow mature audiences to meet and share a safe space, Roblox has assured its community that everyone will have a well-moderated experience during gameplay where voice and chat interactions are safe. Dating. I never thought I'd say this, but dating is coming to Roblox, the children's game. Roblox.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, on one side, I'm kind of like, you know, kids can access the internet as soon as they're at a certain age where they understand how age restrictions work. Mm. Like, kids will kid, and they'll you know, test boundaries and search whatever the fuck they want. So it's kind of like trying to fight the ocean's tides with, you know, placing restrictions and what have you on that. Like, I can understand the sentiment, but it's just like, you know, children will find a way. That's kind of what they do. Mm. But on the other side, I'm a little worried because it is predominantly a kids audience, and I think it will potentially introduce a potentially predatory behavior because it is predominantly a kids. So yeah, if you're one of those skeevy individuals, you'll be rubbing your hands together, you know, villain like, over this sort of news, I reckon.
Yes. Oh, I was listening to SkillUp's coverage of this, and he said the FBI and Chris Hansen are going to have a field day with this one.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, he's going to need many a lozenge from telling people to take a seat, take a seat right over here. Because, this is just fucking insanity. Who would think it's a good idea to put dating into Roblox? Now, I work at a store what sells video games, and look, I'm being That's kind of incorrect in how I describe where I work, because we're a store that sells Roblox gift cards and some video games as well too. We sell so many Roblox gift cards, and you know who it is every time coming to get them? Parents with their fucking children. And this is not like, you know, even...
Yeah, well, now you'll be getting middle-aged men that look coming in trench coats and stuff.
Oh, God, that made me physically ill. Oh, disgusting. And it's not even like, you know, young teens. It's not even adolescents. This is like fucking kids who are like under 10 who are playing Roblox. Why they thought this was a good idea is absolutely beyond me. Dating apps put 18 plus on the app. It seems to me very clear that they're hinting
that... Which is funny as well, because they're 17 plus, exactly. So it's even younger. Which is also a little bit weird.
Why would they do that if it's not that they're hinting that they want younger people to be using this? Make it 18 plus if you want to have it mature. Don't make it 17 plus. That's disgusting.
I don't know where the 17 is coming from. And maybe it's a cultural thing. We're both in Australia... where, like, you know, generally adult is 18 plus. So I don't know. Where'd the
game come
from?
San Francisco. They're an American company.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. I don't know. It's all bizarre.
Just a quick clarification for everyone. I was speaking to my awesome housemate, Anthony, from What Do You Think About This? At the conclusion of the recording, and I talked about this Roblox story, and he said apparently in America, the rating system only has a 17 plus. That's why there isn't an 18 plus rating system for apps and whatnot. And I double checked, and Tinder, yes, on the Apple Store says 17 plus. But in the actual app of Tinder itself, you can only select from 18 to 55. Anyway, back to the show.
It's weird. I understand from a commercial sense, they've got a limited user base, and those users are now getting old and probably turning 17, because Roblox has been around for a while. So if you were like a 10-year-old when you picked it up, you might be 17 now. And that's maybe sort of what they're trying to think of is, you know, keeping their existing user base engaged. But the problem is that it's fundamentally designed to attract younger children to come into the gaming sphere. So you're creating potentially an unsafe environment for them. Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's really weird.
Maybe if you want older and more mature people to play your fucking game, make it so it doesn't look like fucking dollar store Lego with all the jank you could ever imagine in any game. Like, make it something that people want to play. Don't, like, yeah, this just gives me the absolute icks. Like, I just can't think of a grosser idea. Yeah. But, like, you know, the new Baby Shark sing-along game came out last week. Like, if they added a section where, you know...
I'm sorry, what? Now there's the news headline.
Exactly, exactly. Now, if there was a section on there where it's like, oh, dating, you got to be 17 plus, I think everyone would be safe to say that is fucking gross and weird.
Yeah, or like the Frozen dating app.
the Spider-Man Elsa Frozen dating
Elsa
up.
And Anna want to see like other people. I mean, Anna's single anyway, because she got dicked over by that prince. But oh, sorry, spoilers.
Oh, no.
Oh my god, I'm so sorry. As if anyone hasn't seen that movie by now.
Hello and welcome to News 2, your place to be for gaming news stories. My name is Zach, and I am here with my co-host Lockie.
Now that was an interesting introduction. I did pick up on News 2. So does that mean either we're trying to revamp the brand to make it sound a little bit more to the point, a bit more punchier? Or is it perhaps that we may be missing a segment from this episode?
Yeah, we got no reviews this week, everybody. I'm very sorry about that. There's no reviews coming.
Okay. Well, let's just caveat that whole News 2. Now, we are a bit of a jokey joke podcast. There'll be a fair amount of satirization We do not always spit hot facts. And when we do provide our opinion and commentary, it is that. It's not news. So we'll do our very best to try and differentiate when we're chatting about something and discussing something versus reading the news.
Yeah, we're commenting on news that other people are reporting on. We're not the news persons. No.
That's right. We're like the leech. We leech off the hard news work that people, you know, put out into the world to inform us and take on all legal liability.
Yep.
And we just get to reap the rewards by commenting and talking shit.
Lucky, you're absolutely right. And another way that we are like a leech is that we get guests on every week to leech off their talent and their charisma. And
oh, absolutely.
Unfortunately...
or their ability to play games.
Exactly. And unfortunately, for the third week in a row, we've had the guest slot fall through. So we're supposed to have Liv on from Between Two Gamers. Now, unfortunately, and yeah, sad for those guys and sad for me, because I'm a big, big fan of their show, they're going on hiatus. They're going on an indefinite hiatus.
So I was like,
look, you know, if you're just going on hiatus now, don't feel obliged to jump on the show. Just like, you know, relax, enjoy, you know, not making podcasts for a bit. And she was very happy to take that opportunity. So hopefully we'll get
when they're feeling a little bit more refreshed and if they're feeling up to it, they're always welcome to voice on our show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, be keen to get them on.
Yeah, I'll be nagging Liv and Fruey for sure. But yeah, as I hinted at the very start there, it's just going to be all news this week. And holy shit, we have a lot of news to get to. But just quickly before we do, just remember, if you like news too, please leave us a rating or review wherever you happen to be listening to the show.
So the listener does the review this week.
Yeah, that's it. You're putting the reviews in news to reviews this week for us.
Damn.
So that's it. We leech off our listeners.
God, we're lazy.
We leech off our guests. We're lazy. We are just leeches. You're right, Lockie. You, it was a spot on metaphor. I want to quit my job and get on the dole and just like really embrace this lifestyle.
Oh, well, you know.
No, I don't want to say that. No qualms to anyone who's ever had to be on the dole or something like that. Everyone needs a helping hand every now and again. And I need a helping hand with a segue to talk about the news. Let's talk about the news. All right.
Oh, sorry, you were waiting for me to say something. Yes, let's talk about the news.
No, I wasn't. I was just like sort of basking in how weird I'm acting right now. Anyway.
Oh, okay.
This article comes out of The Verge. It was written by Ash Parrish, and yeah, holy shit, this has been all over Twitter and social media this week. Game developers affected by Unity's new pricing model are striking back. A collective of developers across 19 companies, mostly based in Europe and mostly developing mobile games, has put out an open letter urging Unity to reverse course on its recently announced pricing model changes. The letter contains some of the same sentiments expressed by other developers this week, but with one big twist. As a course of immediate action, our collective of game development companies is forced to turn off all Iron Source and Unity ad monetization across our projects until these changes are reconsidered, the letter read. Essentially, these companies, which represent thousands of games with billions of downloads, have blocked Unity from making any more money in their games. There have been numerous messages from developers urging the company to reverse course. Others have threatened to never use Unity again or port their existing projects to other game engines. This collective action from developers represents the next escalation in the fight between Unity and its users. At the heart of the matter is the news that Unity will update its pricing structure to charge developers for each installation of Unity game after specific download and revenue thresholds are met. Though Unity asserts that only 10% of its users will be affected, it is unclear how Unity intends to track installs and how it intends to differentiate a valid install from an invalid one. According to an email reviewed by The Verge, a Unity representative acknowledged that the company's ad monetization programs had been paused for an app and remarked that it was likely because of the new fees. The rep went on to say that in response, Unity would suspend its user acquisition programs for that app, essentially limiting the app's ability to attract new users, which is just crazy that they can do that. Though this action will hurt these companies financially to them, it's not just about the money. The new regulations from Unity will affect every project that doesn't generate sufficient income per user, said Nikita Guk, CEO of PR firm GIMZ, who organized the letter.
CEO of PR firm saying it's not about the money.
Well, no, this is...
Right, sorry, that's all I heard.
This is the person representing the companies affected by Unity's decision, not Unity. So yeah. Pushing developers to either migrate to alternative game engines or place even greater emphasis on monetization at the expense of creating immersive gameplay experience. So far, 19 companies...
I wonder who's paying that CEO of the PR company to make those statements.
Well, for him, it's
to
definitely
say it's
about
not,
the money. Yeah.
It's not just about money. Anyway, continue.
Look, so far, 19 companies have signed to the letter and more are urged to follow suit. If you share our sentiment, we will call on you to join us. Turn off Unity monetization until a fair and equitable resolution is found. So, yeah, the whole of the internet has been blowing up about this, and the whole big thing, the thing that everyone's upset about is, yeah, they're going to be charging based on installations rather than just on revenue, which is... I don't understand that at all, why they would do things that way. And the reason why people are particularly worried about this is because we're in a weird time for games when installs aren't really that much of a factor in how much money you're making to some. Like, it is, but it's not completely about that. So, like, say your game goes onto Game Pass, you get a lump sum from Microsoft, but it might not, you know, that you could lose a ton of that when 5 million people download your game because it's included in their Game Pass subscription.
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head. I think that's precisely why they're doing it, because they're not making money or as much money based on that subscription model. They're not getting their cut, or at least that's the way they see it. So that's why they're trying to sort of, you know, implement this. And yeah, I get that it's, I don't know. It's causing a bit of a, I could understand why it's causing a bit of a spanner in the work, because it's kind of trying to basically get a piece of that pie that's already been carved out by the subscription sort of model. I don't know. What games run on Unity?
Oh, fuck tons. And it's mostly indie and AA style stuff. So it is used in AAA for sure, but it's definitely more the indies and whatnot. The main reason why they'd use it is because it's free until you're making revenue. And that's the thing that just blows my mind. Just make it purely revenue-based. Like, they, when it goes to Game Pass and Microsoft pays the developer a lump sum, Unity gets a cut of that. They get a cut of every single dime that that game makes once it passes a certain threshold. So why they thought they needed to do it based on installs is just completely fucking insane to me. We've had things like the developers of Cult of the Lamb have they joke saying they were going to delete their game on January 1st because of this, and then they were just joking around, though. They were just having fun, but they're... You know, they've been real loud on Twitter about all this.
Pokemon Go, that's the one. Everything else is just like a drop in the ocean. It's Pokemon Go revenue they want. Mm. Okay, yeah, interesting. Yeah. So I suppose Niantic or Game Freak or Nintendo would be basically the ones that will sort of dictate, you know, whether or not the modeling acquiesces to Unity's sort of desires or demands. And if they don't, and they say, all right, we're pulling out all of our agreements, we're just going to do it on some other fucking gaming platform because they exist, we'll move to Unreal Engine, fuckwits. You know, then that could also happen. And I reckon if it were to come from Nintendo around that, that would... I reckon Unity would probably buckle overnight because their business would be geared probably predominantly to supporting, maintaining all of the stuff towards those areas. But anyway, we'll see.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll see how it all shakes out in the end. Like, Unity's already... They've tried to sort of clarify everything, be like, this won't affect people, blah, blah, blah. But devs are super pissed. And a lot of devs are just saying, we're just not going to bother with Unity now. We just won't use it because it's just going to completely fuck us as soon as we want to go on Game Pass or if the game is free to play or anything like that. Because they're right, they've got to monetize the fuck out of every install if this is the case.
They'll just switch to Unreal, like most other developers. Honestly, like, it's an interesting thing from Unity. I think they're just trying to, like, get a little bit more money out of the Pokemon Online franchises.
And there's been reporting that apparently a lot of the management at Unity were super worried about this and weren't happy with the decision, but it still got pushed through. Even the CEO apparently has sold 50,000 shares over the last 12 months. And the stock price took a huge drop when this news got announced as well, too, with all the backlash.
Well, then Unity's in trouble.
Yeah, they're definitely in trouble. They're having a PR disaster right now.
Especially when they have CEOs of PR companies saying that it's not just about the money. I'm not surprised about there being quite a strong PR-led sort of backlash there. It's interesting. Anyway, I'm a cynical fuck. Let's move on.
yeah, totally fair. They just need to reverse the install base decision. Just increase the revenue that you get by like 5% or a couple of percent. And then, people will be pissed, but
I don't know. I would have no clue, what sort of impact it would be and, what sort of slight change they might make in their model that would tip the scales for developers to just go with Unreal in the future.
Exactly.
Unity's kind of small potatoes anyway.
Yeah. You know what else is small potatoes? This fucking recent state of play. It wasn't a banger. There wasn't a lot of amazing stuff. But there's a few nuggets of gold in there. So let's chat about it, shall we? So it happened on Friday, the September State of Play, and it started with a game called Baby Steps. Now, this looked so weird, and I am very much vibing with it. So basically, the trailer starts off with the dude face down in the mud, as if he'd had like a really big night and ended up there somehow. And he sort of gets up and he's just talking to himself the whole time. And it appears that basically the way the game works is it's like a physics-based kind of puzzle game where you got to step the character forward and get across like weird terrain, basically. Yep. And it reminded me a lot of Getting Over It, which is, I don't know if you remember that game where it's the guy doing the quotes and he's using the thing. Well, this is being made by Bennett Foddy as well too, the person who did Getting Over It, so that makes absolute sense why it has those kind of vibes. It's also being made by Maxi Bock and Gabe Cazillo, and I don't know, I thought the voice acting was great and it was super funny and looks like it could be a fun quirky game. Did you check out the trailer for Baby Steps?
I like the name Gabriel. But everyone who's called Gabriel goes by Gabe and it makes it sound so much shittier. Just go by Gabriel. Sound badass. Maybe it's because it's got the gay at the beginning and that's what they don't like. No, but then they go by Gabe. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it.
Gabe sounds like the name of a gay babe. You call him a Gabe.
Yeah, sorry. My brain has just completely moved on. Getting Over It. We're talking about Getting Over It.
Baby Steps.
Baby Steps.
Did you watch the little trailer? Had the guy walking?
Regular legs and baby legs. I'm just saying. I'm regular legs. I think that is interesting. I like those quirky physics-based puzzles. I think there was a massive speedrun community that was built around Getting Over It. So, I'm all for it. I think it's great whenever you see these sort of games sort of come into their own. I find these games sometimes way more entertaining than what a AAA produced game pushes out. For example, Starfield. So I'm interested. I'm intrigued. Let's see. Show me what you got.
Well, people on PS4 if they want to show children what they've got, they'll be able to, because Roblox is coming to PlayStation.
Gross.
Yeah, disgusting.
No, move on from Roblox.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
I'm sure we'll be covering them soon enough in news stories, you know, a year from now.
There is so much stuff that we could get into Roblox. Like, Roblox almost runs to some degree on child labor, allegedly.
You got to be careful about that
in Roblox
shit. Yeah.
Allegedly, this is all alleged, but you know it wasn't alleged. There was some PSVR 2 games shown off as well too. Resident Evil 4 and Ghostbusters are coming to PSVR 2, which, you know, if you got PSVR 2, that looks like it'll be fun. But the thing that I think looks like it'll be real fun is we got another look at Far Cry Pandora Express. Let's go. That we got Frontiers of Pandora, the Far Cry Navi avatar game.
I just want to go back to that child labor thing. That's very much unsubstantiated opinion or theory. Like,
I've made that very clear, not... Lockie. Fuck, I said alleged
like
20
times. I just want to put it in triplicate.
Okay, I said it like 20 times. So, Far Cry.
You can't just go around saying that companies without any sort of...
Yes, I did exactly what you just said a second ago.
You did. You did. I'm just freaked out. I'm sorry.
We'll talk about it later. It's pretty crazy. Anyway, another look at Far Cry Pandora Express, Lockie. What do you think of Avatar but Far Cry? Ubisoft.
Give it a go. Far Cry has been needing a bit of a shake up to its models, so this could be it. You know, you got a bit more of a fantasy vibe going on. You got blue aliens that are like American Indian culture or something, you know, back in the heydays. I love using the bow. The bow is one of my favorite instruments in the Far Cry game, so I reckon there'll be a lot more of sort of that stuff going on, so I'm down for it.
You spoke my mind. I loved Far Cry Primal, which was all bows and spears and that kind of stuff. This looks like a lot of that. They've focused a lot on traversal. You're seeing your character like flying on those weird flying pterodactyl dragon things they have in Avatar. You're riding weird horse avatar creatures as well. You're taking down outposts. It looks gorgeous. It looks like fun. I'm all for it. Let's go. Let's give it to me. December 7th, it will be giving it to me. So, yeah. Oh, and it's also co-op as well. So, Hunter, let's go. Co-op time. Another game that was co-op is Helldivers 2. And we got another look at it. I've got to say, I wasn't as impressed with this showing as what I was with the previous showing of Helldivers. This one was definitely more to showcase the cooperative side of it, but it looks like it's going to be a fun co-op looter shooter style thing. So if you like your Borderlands, oh God, it gave me massive Outrider vibes, big Outrider energy with this one. It's a bit generic, which I'm not the biggest fan of the art style, I guess, but I thought the team reload mechanic looked kind of interesting. So there was a moment where the guy's shooting rockets and your teammate can come up to you and help reload the rocket so you can like fire them off quicker, which I thought was a pretty cool idea. I don't know, Lockie, Helldivers 2, do you think it looks interesting at all?
That sounded very tedious to me, so no.
Okay, yeah, that's that's totally fair. There was a moment
teamwork,
where,
in fact, does not make the dream work.
Well, look, at the very end, there was a moment where there was a 500-kilo bomb that they use, and that thing that went off. That was cool. But out of that, there was nothing that exciting there. Then there was some Spider-Man...
I don't like bombs. There's a lot of wars going on in the world, and I kind of just... I don't... Yeah.
Unlike back in the day playing Call of Duty, there was no wars happening.
Yeah, like it's there's a lot of shit going on, and I don't know, I'm not into it. It just kind of bums me out and freaks me out about, you know, potential realities that we don't want to happen.
Yep, that's pretty much every Call of Duty game throughout all of time. No, but War's fun. It's a fun game, Lockie. It's
I know.
All fun.
I know. I'm all wore out. We've got enough going on in the real world for me to go, yeah, nah, just want something a little bit more positive.
Except for God of War. That's the war we want.
Oh, well, that's the war for, you know, that's the war between father and son. That's a war we can all get behind. Because it ends with them.
And I hope the story for this one ends.
Oh, my God. Did I spoil that? Is that a spoiler?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah. I'll get rid of that. But anyway.
Yeah. Get rid of that.
I'll do something. Spider-Man 2 was shown off as well. I didn't watch it because I know I'm picking up Spider-Man 2. I don't want to know anything else about it. I already feel like I know too much. So if you want some more Spider-Man 2, if you haven't had enough at this point and you can't wait until October 20th, then there you go. There's a bit more for you to check out. Did you watch the Spider-Man 2 stuff, Lockie? I don't want to know about it if you did, but did you?
Honestly, I skipped past the Spider-Man 2. I was kind of confused because I thought the Miles Morales Spider-Man was Spider-Man 2. So
No, that was like a 1.5 or something. So it's kind of like how there's Uncharted 4 and then Uncharted Lost Legacy, which was an Uncharted game but with a smaller scope comparatively to Uncharted 4. Exactly the same with Miles Morales. It was like a quick, you know, 10-hour experience if you do side stuff, whereas Spider-Man's like 20 hours. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, I thought that's a little bit weird. He's clearly the second Spider-Man, so I thought Spider-Man 2, but okay.
So, the Spider-Man 2 is the one with the two Spider-Men that you can play as. But yeah, let's go. I'm so pumped for it. But yeah, if you want to check it out, check it out. But what
are they? Yeah. Okay, it's not for me. It's not for me. I'm not going to... I need to stop shitting on beloved franchises that are clearly not for me because clearly a lot of people love them and that's great that they're getting more of what they love, I guess.
Spider-Man games are fucking great, man. It's your loss.
Yeah.
But
it is my loss, absolutely.
What won't be your loss, though, is if you miss out on Foam Stars because it looks like fucking shit. We've got another look.
I thought you were going to talk about Minecraft because you got a Minecraft mug that's just come into focus.
Oh, yeah. I drink out of this thing all the fucking time.
Oh, okay. I thought you were doing branding. All right.
Oh, yep. God, I wish fucking Microsoft would give us money to shilk Minecraft. I love Minecraft. It's a great game. I'd totally take money to say it's good. I already do say
it's quickly,
good.
While we're talking about Minecraft, there's been some Minecraft educational game that's been floating around on Facebook marketing around numbers or some shit. So that's interesting. I don't know. I don't know if that counts as news. It might be news. It's news to me. So, I think that's interesting. I think that's kind of cool that they're trying to make Minecraft a little bit more educational for kids. Okay. Kids seem to enjoy it. You know, it's like the exact opposite of what Roblox is doing with their kids franchise. Minecraft is trying to like make kids better and, you know, more intelligent, more safe, whereas Roblox, yeah.
Well, Lockie, you may not know this, but apparently, yeah, it's already...
Are they going to bring in Hoblox? Or Rocox. Just let that sit.
So, just a heads up. Minecraft has actually been used in education for a while. I believe in Europe, they actually get kids to play Minecraft. Because, you know, you're using blocks and building shit.
Building,
it's creative and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
Unlike Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, not very creative because it's a remake of a game that already happened. No, it's actually looks like it will be quite creative. Did you know chocobos can fly, Lockie? I thought they were like emus.
Yeah, they're not meant to fly. They're like the ostrich from Donkey Kong, where like it sort of glides. It gets good jump and glides normally.
I couldn't tell if it looked like it was flying. I couldn't tell if it was gliding, but it was like fucking high up if it was gliding. But yeah, we got to see a gameplay trailer for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and I know this. I thought it looked cool, or there was stuff in there that looks cool, like flying chocobos and just all a manner of random shit. But I don't know. I mean,
it makes sense. They're goddamn chicken horses, so like, I'm kind of surprised why they haven't had them flying in the past until now. But yeah, that's a smart move.
I'm shocked. I don't expect chocobos to fly. They're emus, man. Like, I just would never expect to see it. It's just not realistic, you know. I want my Final Fantasy games to be like grounded in reality.
Really grounded, yeah, yeah. You want to see how Cloud puts, like, what products Cloud uses to get his hair to do that, and like just watch him on hours straightening the crap out of his hair.
So, did you watch the trailer for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth? You hated Remake, didn't you?
Well, I didn't hate it. I thought it was really great to begin with, but then I liked the narrative, and I liked the drag part. That was awesome, but it was the actual gameplay itself that, after a certain point, I realized that it didn't matter. It didn't matter in some fights whether I even pressed the attack button, and your allies will just win the game for you. And there was no real way to make it more challenging or interesting in that. So I was just, you know, I think that's always, you're doing your game a disservice. If you're making it an action game, that's fine. But there needs to be some sort of challenge and variety there. And as soon as you realize there isn't, it's kind of like seeing the man behind the curtain in Wizard of Oz. You know, nobody wants to see that guy.
Well, maybe avoid Final Fantasy VII Rebirth when it does come out.
Oh my god, did I just spoil Wizard of Oz? God, I'm spoiling
it. Oh, no. I better fix that spoiler up as well.
Oh no, we might have some Roblox users that haven't actually watched it yet because they're all kids.
Oh, enough Roblox. It's now Noblox, okay? Let's go.
Oh.
Now, all right. So, look, it's coming 29th of February, which I think it's cool. It's coming on a leap day. But, you know, I was burnt so much by Remake, it really frustrated me narratively. It wasted so much of my time. I have no interest in this. But if you enjoyed Remake, I'm sure you're going to like Rebirth. It looked like all the same shit again, so have fun. You're gonna have fun.
I will be interested in this title, because if they just make that gameplay a little bit more tight, I am all over it.
They're not going to, Lockie. It's gonna be the same thing again. They're not gonna change shit, I'm telling you. If anything, they'll make it more like Final Fantasy 16, maybe.
Oh yeah, god, I just need them to turn it up a little bit on, like, you know, the mental energy that goes into it. The lights are all off at the moment. I just need... I'll take a fucking flickering dim-ass light. Just something. Otherwise, in before everyone else does it, I will call it Final Fantasy Afterbirth.
Well, we're going to cover the Nintendo Direct second to the State of Play. So I guess in a way, the Nintendo Direct is the afterbirth of this show? This episode? That was a segue. Nintendo had a Direct for September 2023, and they talked about games that's coming to Nintendo's platform. Who would have guessed it? And the first one they showed off that I was interested in, they actually didn't put a lot in the doc, because holy shit, there was a lot of shit I could not care about. But yeah, Mario versus Donkey Kong. They're fighting once again. It's like a 2D side-scrolling puzzle platformer, and it looks like you're doing a bunch of puzzle platforming to get to Donkey Kong, and then you do some kind of puzzle platform boss fight, and then hooray. That comes out 16th of February 2024, and it's looking like it's going to cost $69.95 Australian, which is probably going to be like $40 in the States or something, I'm guessing, which for what they've shown so far, from what it looks like, it's just a bunch of reused assets from other games.
From 2D. Mario Maker. Yeah, honestly, it's just a puzzle game that looked like it was made in Mario Maker too.
Yeah, not wrong. So yeah, $70 for what it is. If they were charging like $30-$40, I'd be like, oh, yeah, sure. But I know Aaron said he's down for this one. I think because, you know, it has Donkey Kong in the title, and he's fucking obsessed. So anything with Donkey Kong, he'll probably spend money on. But
well, That, yeah, that's, yeah. I don't want to say mean things about people I care about.
No, we love you, Aaron. We love podcast. You. I say this with love, with peace and love, that is for sure. So, yeah, now, Lockie, it sounds like you're
hope he enjoys it.
Yeah, I hope he does too. Maybe we'll get him on the show to talk about it and apologize. Mm.
That's right. It could turn out being a real banger. Who knows?
Sounds like neither of us really...
It won't, but who knows?
...care about this one. So, should we just move on to the next one? We've got another look at Prince of Persia. The Lost Crown.
I don't give a fuck about Prince of Persia. Ubisoft has been trying to hype up that fucking title that has been cold and dead in the ground for, what, 15 years, and I just don't care anymore. They had their chance. The ship has sailed, and I highly doubt whatever shit they're putting to the table this time around on their dated-ass game engines. Can't even run any sort of DLSS or what's the other one? The one that AMD does, FSR. Fuck it. Just not it. They're fucking Ubisoft store. Oh, let me just say this. You have to, this is what I had to do to uninstall the Ubisoft store. I had to log in order to uninstall it. That's how it's programmed. How ridiculous is that?
Yeah, but what if like someone got onto your computer and just to uninstall Ubisoft from there,
right,
then you'd totally like be so upset that Ubisoft was uninstalled without your permission.
I know how irresponsible. Yeah, I know that. But like that just goes to show how fucking honestly I find that sociopathic from a developer standpoint. Like, whoever thought to do that just to like, you know, for someone that wants to uninstall the program, just to put that little corkscrew in there to make it a little bit harder for them to do so. I had to request my password because I've forgotten my password and everything just to fucking uninstall this fucking program.
I'm loving the energy we're getting from you this episode, Lockie. It's like a little bit aggressive, but like maybe more sassy. So it's like not too much. I'm digging it.
It's embittered sass.
Yeah, but I actually think this looks like it could be a cool side scroller, but I'm also just not that interested. If the reviews come out and they're great reviews, and maybe I'll take a look at Prince of Persia, but I'm sure it's going to run like shit on the Switch and would be better to play elsewhere. Anyway, this game would be better to play anywhere on the Switch, but it's Mario, so of course it's only going to be on the Switch. Super Mario RPG Remake. Honestly, I'm not interested in this title, but it looks like a super cute and colourful turn-based RPG. So if you're interested in a Mario RPG, 17th of November, it looks like you're going to get a cute one that's probably going to be fun, probably not going to really challenge you at all, and it is what it is. Lockie, are you interested in Super Mario RPG Remake? It is a remake of a very popular Mario game.
Mm. Yeah, I am interested in this one. I loved this game as a kid. Oh, nice. It was bloody banger for its time. It plays kind of like Paper Mario, but a little bit more mature, a little bit more Final Fantasy-y, which makes sense because I think it was developed by Squaresoft back in the day. So it's
Intelligent Systems, I think it was.
Yeah.
Was it?
I think it's a Squaresoft, so which was old Square Enix.
Groovy.
So it's got good bones to it. This is back when Square Enix didn't suck. This was back in its sort of heyday where it had just come off the back of the really good Final Fantasy game. So
developed by Square. 4, 5, 6. Right.
Yeah, 4, 5, 6. And this was also an excellent game. And this was sort of, the Square Enix's take on the Paper Mario games that Nintendo was foraying into, and it was slightly more mature. So there's some decent tactics that go into it. The story's interesting. I'm really looking forward to this one.
Yeah, I can't say I share the same passion, but yeah, of course you've got that nostalgia for it. I never played it growing up, so yeah, I'm happy for everyone who's happy about this one.
It's definitely a nostalgia game, like, and that's what remakes generally are. Like, you know, they're nostalgia trips. So if you enjoyed that stuff, then this is for you. If you're kind of you know, you're kind of into RPGs, but you don't like that old crap, well, you probably will find this, you know, in the old crap territory. Although, honestly, it's more complex and interesting than any Paper Mario game I've ever seen. So it will still have that going for it.
Oh, so I got... So Intelligent Systems do Paper Mario. So that's where I got mixed up here.
Oh, okay. So really, Unintelligent Systems.
Ooh. That was brutal, Lockie. That was brutal. And you know what else was brutal? We got slammed in the face with some new Nintendo game. So it's not a new IP, I guess, because it's just...
What?
Is it a new IP if it's just a... If it's using the same character, but just a new game based on that? Or is it just a new game?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, well, I guess it's just a new game, not a new IP.
Just,
because it's...
I think you've just come into like a chicken or the egg sort of question. I don't know.
I think you're right. Well, we got the announcement of Princess Balan Wonder Peach. Oh, yes, it looks really cool.
You're right, you're right. The evil lady seems like the gender-swapped Balan, so that's interesting.
Yeah, and it's all about
that alone is just
different suits which give you different powers. It's like they...
And it's got that fantasy carnival sort of theme, you know, yeah.
It's very
interesting.
Very, very Balan Wonderworld. But yeah, this is, of course, Princess Peach Showtime with an exclamation point at the end so you know that it's exciting. But it's like a 2.5D
Showtime
puzzle platformer, I'm guessing, like a bit of a...
Looks like a platformer to me.
Oh,
kind of comes across as like a Kirby game.
There's puzzles. There's heaps of puzzles.
Yeah, okay.
There's like, at one point, Princess Peach is a detective, and you're going around with a fucking, what do you call them? A magnifying glass and looking for clues, sniffing out them clues.
All right. Well, I think this is a case of I only focused on the things that I liked out of it, and then I completely mentally blocked out the stuff that I instantly didn't like. And I thought the detective stuff, the puzzle stuff, looked like it was a real slowdown. It's because I immediately was like, oh, I like the Musketeer Rapier fighter version of Peach, and I really like the Kung Fu Peach. That looks fun. They should just do a whole game out of that. And then they go, oh, and then we're moving on to Detective Pichachu. And I just, I have a feeling this game will be very short, and I have a feeling I'm intrigued. I think if they just went for a proper like fighter side scroller sort of 2.5D game, I would have loved this game, and I reckon there'd be parts in it that I love, but I have a feeling that they've sort of gone the Mario Party route where they just sort of throw a whole bunch of random crap in there and, you know, slap a ticket price on it.
I'm still thinking about Pichachu. They need a suit in there where it's just Peach with like you know, a Pikachu suit on or something, and she gets electric powers, and she's Pichachu. That's perfect.
And on Detective Pichachu...
Segue.
That's how you do a segue, by the way. We
got our first look at this Pokemon puzzle game, Detective Pikachu. It's looking like it's coming out 6th of October 2023. And once again, it looks like a puzzle game, but set in the Pokemon universe. So you're seeing cute Pokemon do cute Pokemon things whilst solving mysteries. The mystery I want solved is, are you interested in this, Lockie?
No.
Well, that was an unsatisfying conclusion to that.
No,
mystery.
No, I haven't even watched the movie. That's how little interest I have in the whole Detective Pikachu theory.
You will hate it, I guarantee you. I didn't mind it. I had a fun time with it, but I like, it sounds to me from the reviews I've heard of Sonic that it's very much on that kind of level. And I know you hated Sonic. I don't think you would like the Detective Pikachu movie. Look,
if it was Detective Sonichu, I would be interested, but yeah, nah.
Yeah, look, I think if you're a Pokemon fan, this is a bit of a no-brainer. It just looks like it's going to be a cute, fun Pokemon puzzle game. There was a moment Luxray can look through walls. And
I saw that. I thought that was neat. I thought that was very, very neat, but still not enough to salvage the entire concept of the game for me.
I don't know, it kind of grossed me out a little bit. I was kind of like, that's a bit of a creepy ability. Like, oh yeah, Luxray's ability is to reduce the privacy of the ones around. That's great.
I suppose, yeah, I didn't think of it that way, but I suppose you're right. I suppose maybe they might bring it over to Roblox.
Oh, no. No, please stop. And something I need to stop is just remasters. We're just constantly getting remasters and remakes thrown at us. And once again, it's happening. Tomb Raider 1, 2, and 3 are coming to Switch. Why? Whatever. Anyway.
I don't fucking know. If you like Tomb Raider and you've liked it for a while, you would have already picked up this sort of stuff ages ago on PlayStation or PC or whatever.
Well, this is OG Tomb Raider 2. It's not even like the new trilogy. This is like PC triangle titty Tomb Raider you have here. So.
Yeah, but ironically, it's not PC because they don't keep the triangle titties, which is the best part.
Oh, no, they do. You can swap back and forth between the new look and the old look.
So you can
look,
see what it was like back in the day. Yeah. That's cool. All right, yeah. No worries. All right, you've changed my mind. I'm going to give that a 10 out of 10 then.
Well, I wonder if you'd give this also remaster or remake a 10 out of 10. So another one of them, Luigi's Mansion 2 HD. If you like Luigi's Mansion, you're getting it on Switch, and it probably looks a bit better than the previous version of it. Wow.
I've never given Luigi's Mansion a fair shake, so my opinion on it is, it's not even fair for me to talk on that one because I just don't. I'm not interested. I don't understand it.
Look, I've played Luigi's Mansion 3 with a friend of the show, Sam, God, who we haven't had on for a very, very long time. And her and I had a great time playing. It's like it's a fun puzzle game to play with someone else. Or like, I'd say it'd be a great game for a parent to play with their child. But
like an It Takes Two sort of game?
Well, it doesn't have to be. You can do it solo, but in the third one, you have Gooigi, who's like a goo version of Luigi.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, it's really
disgusting.
Weird. It's really weird.
No, your description of him is disgusting. Goo virgin Luigi. This is a children's game, Zach. Get your Roblox out of here.
And the next announcement was dating is going to be coming to Luigi's Mansion 3, so you can date Luigi and de-virginify him. So get excited for that, everybody. No, that was just a joke, allegedly, in Minecraft. The last thing they had...
Allegedly in Minecraft.
You've never heard that expression? Like, when people...
No!
People will say in Minecraft to be like, oh, it's not real. Like, it's like another... It's like a joke way of saying allegedly, basically.
Right. Okay.
Like if I said like Lockie is a serial killer in Minecraft.
In Minecraft. Yeah. Okay.
There you go. Right. So, oh fuck, did I just out you as a serial killer? I hope not.
Well, only in Minecraft, so I can live with that.
Now, the last thing they had to show was another remake. This presentation, I think, like. There was a lot of like shovelware like, shit as well, but
more
yeah.
like Nintendo Redirect.
They showed Paper Mario Thousand Year Door remake that's coming in 2024. Isn't this the one that people like of the Paper Marios?
I've heard that people like it, so a lot of people I think that's their favorite Paper Mario game. I'll take a look at the gameplay and see what it's like, but I suspect it'll be not up my alley, because the thing with Paper Mario is they know who they're making it for. It's intentionally designed to be a really entry level RPG for a younger audience, and that's fine. That's what they set out to do. They're setting out to do a quality version of that. So I can't really talk more on that.
Yeah. No, that's yeah, totally fair. Look, I played the most recent one, and you're absolutely right. Like, the art style's super adorable. I love the Paper Mario aesthetic and everything's arts and crafts. It's super cute. I love it. There's lots of, like, surprising little things that happen along the way, but holy fuck was the combat brain dead boring shit where you had to like do timing based shit as well. Like Mario would jump on the end. I fucking hated it. So look, I know people love this one. So for those people who have nostalgia for this, they're probably just absolutely over the moon. And for those people, I'm very happy for you. But for me, Yeah, nah.
Well, one of these days we're going to get a nah, yeah. But at the moment, it's all yeah, nah.
That'll be big news when it is. I know. What'd you think of the Nintendo Direct as a whole, Lockie?
I would describe it exactly like that. It was a bit of a hole. So, I would call it a very much treading water type redirect. They're breaking out all of their titles that they know won't get people particularly excited. So no one's going to go out and buy a Nintendo Switch for Peach's Playhouse or whatever. So like, you know, they're sort of, you can see that they're breaking out all their titles that they know probably won't sell all that well, and they know aren't their, you know, real showstoppers. So I think that's all in anticipation for what you sent through an article to me the other day saying that there might be a Nintendo Switch 2 coming out sometime soon.
Oh, look, there's been rumors. People
so somebody's leaking. We're doing a somebody's leaking right now. This is all speculative. Don't sue us, Nintendo. We don't know.
There is a report
calm your farm, Nintendo lawyers. focus on Unity. Just focus on dealing with Unity.
There you go. You're right, Lockie. Quick, somebody's leaking. You can check out Eurogamer has an article, apparently, that was showing off the Switch 2 at some kind of conference, just behind closed doors to game developers only. But it's just
it could be like those Mexico aliens that were shown at the Congress, where it's just like paper mache prototype of what a Switch 2 may look like.
Yeah, there's been rumors for about a Switch 2 for ages now. So it gets to a certain point where it's like, right, what do we report until we get like some actual serious solid evidence of what's to come? I don't know. But yeah, if that sounds interesting to you, go and check out that article over at Eurogamer. I'll put it in the description of the podcast. There you go. You can find it.
Yeah. So, But as much as it's speculation, a point in their favor is that clearly based on the Nintendo Direct, we're not seeing Nintendo focus on those big showstoppers, at least for the next 6 to 12 months, which is good indication that they're probably holding off on those big next sequels, the big next Mario Odyssey type game or whatever, probably for the next iteration of what console they want to launch, because that's what drives up sales.
That's it. And know what else drives up sales, Lockie? Releasing video games, because you can't have sales at all without doing that.
What the fuck are we talking about? I'm gonna have a brain aneurysm.
And the reason why I bring that up is because we're about to talk about the games coming up in the next week. We have Gloomhaven coming to PS5.
That game has been out for so long.
It's coming to all platforms. Maybe it was on PC and now it's coming to console. Yeah, it's because it's coming to everything, but
PC's been on PC for like 5 years.
There you go. Now you can play it on a console as well. Payday 3 comes out this week. Holy shit. Fuck, I didn't even realize that was coming out so soon. To PC, PS5, and Xbox Series X, also September 18th. Now, apparently, this is just the silver and gold editions. Plebs who have the regular edition pre-ordered are going to have to wait to the 21st of September, which I believe is a Thursday.
I hate these early release practices now.
Dude.
Hate them.
Dude, it's like more prevalent now than ever. We've had it with Starfield, with Mortal Kombat. It's just every fucking company at the moment. It's
fucking $50 more to get Mortal Kombat 5 days earlier. Oh, and also you get Shang Tsung. That's it. Oh, I think you get some Mortal Kombat bucks, whatever the fuck that means, for their in-game currency.
It adds no value to anybody and only harms people who buy the standard edition of the game. There's early access. Yeah. Oh, I fucking hate it. I hate this. Paying for early access is fucked.
It's taking advantage of people that don't have sort of that self-control to just hold off.
Fine.
And I hate that because that's probably more likely to be in younger people. So I think it's predatory in that sense around, you know, targeting kids that usually are less likely to show restraint. Hmm. But also, you know, for our adult groups, it's taking advantage of people that, like, you know, it's just how can we wring money out of this particular type of person that we know exists? And I hate these psychologically sort of predatory practices.
No, you're absolutely right. It is just capitalizing on people's FOMO. I've been diagnosed with FOMO and I live with that every day. That's why I had to borrow Aaron's Series S so I could play Starfield because the FOMO would have killed me. I understand why people get the urge to pay big bucks to play the games early. I fucking hate it. I really, really
The hype is too real.
And you know what else I hate? Real weird naming conventions that make me stutter when I'm trying to read off the games coming up in the next week. And we have Bit.Trip Rerunner coming to PC.
What is that, a new cryptocurrency?
It's a rhythm platformer. Like, it's coming out September 19th. Yeah, it does sound like that, like we're gonna play it and be earning NFT points or some shit. But no, I'm guessing it's probably just some like weird digital based. I'd have to have a look. Rhythm platformer. It sounds kind of intriguing. The Legend
I like those types of games.
There you go. The Legend of Nayuta. Yeah, The Legend of Nayuta : Boundless Trails coming to PC, PS4, and Nintendo Switch also September 19th. That one's an action RPG. Here's one for you, Lockie. Coming to Game Pass September 19th, but also to all platforms except for the Nintendo Switch, we have Lies of P, the Souls-like action RPG, which Lockie is reviewing very well. I've seen some 9s, I've seen some 8s, but I've seen some 9.5s.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, I'm waiting until it comes out on Game Pass because I'm not fucking spending money on it.
Yeah, well, it's coming out day one, September 19th. So it's going to be on Game Pass straight away. So as soon as it's ready to go, you can play it. Yeah. You don't have to pay extra money to play it 2 days early. You can just play it when it comes out like everyone else does, which
excellent.
Is
excellent. So
awesome.
Unity won't get their grubby mitts on this one.
Well, if they made it with Unity, then they're going to get fucked with the installs. But yeah. Rin. I think it's Rin. It's capital R, capital I, capital N. There's no dots in between there, so I don't know if
maybe it's R-I-N, if it's all capitals.
R-I-N. Rin? Anyway, I don't know if it's a... What do you call
anyway,
it?
Anyway, sounds terrible.
Rin, the Last Child, comes to all platforms September 21.
Yeah, all right. It already... I already had like my long title alarms going on with such a weird name. And then you just like Colin.
Avatar, The Last Ember.
Fucking hell. The Last Ember. This one actually deserves the colon because it is actually an established franchise with different sort of structures, and this is the best one. So please continue.
Oh, I'm gonna piss you off with this though. Avatar : The Last Airbender - Quest for Balance.
Yeah, I will give this one a pass because I know the context of the Avatar: The Last Airbender is awesome, and there's a whole bunch of different Avatar. It's competing with fucking Blue Alien Avatar, so that's why it needs the colon there. I don't believe that Rin, for example, needs a colon. I don't think anyone has named their fucking game Rin that they need to further, you know, delineate their franchise.
Well, that's coming to all platforms September 22nd. So if you want to check it out, Lockie.
I'm going hard on Rin.
Going hard on everything, Lockie. This is Lockie's extra hard episode.
I'm in a mood. It's hot, all right? I'm not used to this heat.
It's hot. It's hard. Get used to it? I don't know.
It's hot. I'm not getting the games that I want.
Well, I know what you do want, Lockie, and that is to end the episode. That'll do us for News 2. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for this special news-only episode of the show that we're not totally just doing because we haven't played anything. If you like this episode that's just news, leave us a rating or review wherever you'd like to, wherever you listen to the podcast. It's the easiest way you can help us get into the ears of more people. As Lockie said at the start of the episode, be the reviews and news to reviews for us. We're leeching
be up. The review you want to see in the world.
Is that your final words of wisdom? It sounds like it.
Yes, it is. It is.
Everyone out there, please take care of yourselves and take care of one another. What?